Well, good morning, everyone. As we continue in this third Sunday of Advent, we are drawing closer, as already been said, to Christmas Day. And just to remind you, Advent means coming. It means arrival. And the time of Advent helps us, this time that we're taking part in this month, it helps us to prepare our hearts for the day that we celebrate Christ's birth. And it also helps us to focus our hearts, as we've talked about before, on Christ's second coming. And this year, we're making our way through the events of that first coming of Jesus. We're focusing on the events surrounding Jesus' birth and those who were around and witnessed it. And you remember, as already been mentioned, the first Sunday of Advent, we focused on hope. We talked about the hope that came with the arrival of Jesus, who was the long-awaited Messiah. People were awaiting his arrival. And now hope is, and our hope is this confident expectation in our sovereign God, that he is the all-powerful God. And our hope that we can take hold of is one that we can look at the prophecies of the Bible and see how God has fulfilled so many of them. And we look with anticipation as God continues to fulfill his promises. And we confidently, again, look towards Christ's second coming. And then last Sunday, you'll remember, we looked at the advent of peace. And for us as believers, we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that is all-encompassing. And we can know that God, again, is in complete control of all things. And we saw that as first coming, and we look forward to that again in his second coming, when Christ, again, will bring peace on earth. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, if you would please turn with me to the book of Luke. We're going to be in the book of Luke again today, Luke chapter 2. And as has already been mentioned, we are looking at joy this morning. I'm glad that Kathy wore her joy sweater today for us. And I noticed other weeks we haven't had someone wear a sweater with the name of the Advent day. Maybe someone wants to pick that up next week. We're on love next week, just to prepare for that. Luke chapter 2. Let's just pray as we come to God's word this morning. Lord, we thank you for this time together again. Lord, we thank you for this time we can talk about joy. We can look at your scriptures, God, be reminded of the truth of your word, be reminded of the coming of Jesus. And God, again, just bless our time in your scriptures now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things we love to do with Christmas, and one of the things I think that makes it a joyful season for us, is that we, during the season, celebrate with music, with songs, with lights, decorations. We celebrate with getting together with other people and having food together, especially around Christmas. It seems like sweets are like the prime thing to have as you gather together with other people. Sometimes we exchange gifts, but it really is a joyful time. But you can't help but feeling that sometimes our world hijacks our joy of the season from the true joy and the true center of Christmas. When you come right down to it, the real joy at Christmas comes from not the lights, not the decorations, not the music or the food. It comes from the meaning of Christmas. And at the heart of Christmas is the awesome good news that Jesus Christ was born. He was born as Savior into this world. And from beginning to end, the Christmas narrative that we've been looking at is filled with outbursts and moments of joy. And they all center around the birth of Christ. You can't get away from it. You can't get around it. You can't even spell Christmas without Christ. You can't enter the true joy of the season without Jesus. And this morning, I want us to consider the joy of Christmas. So let's read our passage. If you follow along as we read, beginning in verse 1. Let's hear the word of our Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at the shepherds, at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Now, before we get into the passage too closely here, I want to share with you a little bit of background. At the time of Christ's birth, Rome was the reigning power. They had conquered most of the known world following Alexander the Great, if you know your history a little bit. Alexander the Great, you'll remember, he conquered a lot of Europe and into part of Asia. He spread with him, though, as he conquered the Greek language. And so when Jesus was born, Greek was quite a prevalent language among the people, just as English is today in our world. The Roman emperor in power at the time is in our passage here. It's Caesar Augustus. His rule is known for the unification that he brought to Rome. He followed in the footsteps of his uncle, Julius Caesar. Caesar Augustus is known as a bringer of peace in Rome's history. His rule created many roads for traveling. He made the army an actual occupation, which we follow today. We also follow the practice of paying our veterans that Caesar Augustus started in history. He had legions regularly stationed along the roads to make travel safer than it ever had been before in history. Caesar Augustus was preparing to celebrate his silver jubilee. And so prior to the celebration, he wants an account of those who were in his empire. And the registrations like this were typically conducted in the fall. It was an easier time. Weather was more mild for travel. And so Caesar made the decree that we read of here in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. There was a lot of unrest happening in the world amongst the Jews, and it's also pretty evident even when we read through the Gospels, there was a lot of anger and animosity that the Jews had towards their situation with Rome in ruling, being the ruling power. They had to be thinking, "How long, O Lord? How long? When will that coming Messiah arrive?" And God's people, they longed to be delivered from their oppression and to see God's promises of that Savior, of that Messiah to come and the promises to be fulfilled. And the shepherds in the first century, they would have probably known this Jewish and Roman history. They would know the Old Testament prophecies about how God was going to establish this never-ending rule and kingdom. And yet, for years on, the Jews never experienced this any kind of victory or and they only experienced defeat and misery. Now, what do you think these shepherds were thinking to themselves as they sat in those fields watching their sheep? With all this is the backdrop to where the world was when Christ arrives and is born. God had been silent with his people for over 400 years. No new prophecies. The known world was at a place where travel was safer than ever before. There was a common language. There was unrest amongst God's people. And this is why I think God saw this as the perfect time in history to send his son into our world. And with this history, we come to this passage and the birth of Christ. Now, the angels, they are busy in Luke's gospel. They are God's announcers of many things, including the birth announcements we read of in Luke chapter 1. You remember first, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Gabriel comes to Zechariah and gives him news of this son that they were going to have. And Luke wrote, as we saw 2 weeks ago, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John. You'll have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he will go before him to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And then Gabriel also, we can read in Luke chapter 1, Gabriel visits Mary and announces to her that she's going to become pregnant. She's going to give birth to a son also. She is to name him Jesus. And Mary humbly responds, we see in her response, in obedience to this news of this miracle that God has for her in her life. And we read of the joy between these two mothers, of Elizabeth and Mary, and when they visit each other. And Luke records for us that even the unborn John leaps for joy in his mother's womb. And just as Jesus' birth would bring joy, so would John's. And this joy is not just a personal feeling, but the long-awaited salvation kind of joy that would be brought by the arrival of the Messiah, to which John was to come and prepare the people for. And so many would rejoice. And Luke shows us how John would be blessed to be the one to share and proclaim the joyous announcement of the long-awaited Messiah, the hope of Israel. And as we read in our passage here, the time came for Jesus to be born. The Jews knew that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Again, this is one of those prophecies from the Old Testament, from the prophet Micah, that was prophesied where Jesus would be born, and God fulfills that promise. Now, following the birth of Jesus, Luke's account shifts from focusing on Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus to the shepherds. And Luke sets the stage for us with an angel and a heavenly host who deliver the message to the shepherds on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And the shepherds, they're in the fields, and all of a sudden, that angel appears. And the angel says, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy." Now, there's a number of themes that we could draw out of this passage today, but again, we're focusing on joy today and the joy that Jesus brings. And first off, I think we see here that Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Now, in reality, Jesus brings joy in many areas of our lives, but the joy that is especially associated with Christ's birth is the joy of salvation. And we learned the last few weeks about the hope and peace that Jesus brings. Jesus' very name means salvation. And this week, I want us to see the connection that the Bible makes between salvation and joy. We see a connection between salvation and joy throughout Scripture. For example, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Isaiah was prophesying about Christ, speaking of the coming Christ. And when we study Scripture, we learn of God's salvation that we can receive. We can see and experience the joy that accompanies salvation. There's no true joy without salvation, and there's no true salvation without joy. The two go together, and especially they go together in the Scripture passages of the Christmas narratives. We read in Luke 1 of how Mary is pregnant with Jesus. She went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth is also pregnant, as I mentioned, with John the Baptist at this time. Mary enters the house, and John, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, leaps in the womb. He leaps for joy. Why? Because, as Elizabeth puts it, Mary is the mother of her Lord. Jesus is Lord. Mary was Jesus' mother, and John is in close proximity with Jesus, who had come to bring salvation to the world. And so John jumps with joy, even in his mother's womb. Another example is the wise men. We can go to the book of Matthew and look at the account there. They travel a great distance to see the Messiah, to worship him. Matthew chapter 2, we read of how they went on their way. The star that they had seen in the east goes before them until it stops. And it stops over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They rejoiced. They found the place where Jesus, the Messiah, the coming Savior, had been born. Why? Again, Jesus had come to bring salvation. That's why they were joyous in finding him. You see, our greatest need is met through receiving the gift of salvation. The greatest need all of us have is to have to be saved from our sin. And the only way to be saved and freed from our slavery to sin is the forgiveness of our sin. And Jesus, in coming to earth, came. He provided the way to be saved, to receive salvation. Salvation and joy belong together. They are together. Joy and Christmas belong together. And it's because Jesus came. He brings joy. He brings the joy of salvation. And joy also leads you and I to proclamation. Jesus brings the joy of salvation. That joy leads us to share the good news of Jesus with others. We find this truth demonstrated for us in the passage here too. The news about Jesus' birth is not only news, it's good news. And it's not only good news, it's good news of great joy. And it's not only good news of great joy, it is good news of great joy for all people. But the people will only know about this good news of great joy if we share it with them. We share good news with people all the time, don't we? Think of your own life. How many times do you have something good happen in your life and you share that news with maybe your family members, your friends? Maybe you even go to work and tell others at work about it. Maybe you post it on social media. When the good news is of a birth of a baby in your family or in your life, you tell people. You especially share it with others. You even send pictures of the baby to other people. We have birth announcements. We're filled with joy at a birth of a child, and that joy naturally leads us to proclaim it, to tell others. We want people to share in our joy. And if then we tell other people about the birth of our own children, our own babies, and our families, how much more should we be proclaiming, should we be telling others of the birth of our Savior? The good news is for sharing. There is no better news than the news that the angels shared with the shepherds that night. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. Now, what do the shepherds do after they receive this good news of great joy that is for all people? Well, the angels leave and the shepherds respond. These tough men, whose theological education probably came more from the heavens and the fields around them rather than the synagogues, they chose to believe. They made the immediate decision. We're going to go to Bethlehem. We're going to see what God has told us. And so they go and they check it out and they find everything just as the angel has told them. And the shepherds find the born Messiah. They don't sit in the field after the angels tell them and say, well, what do you think we should do? I don't know. What about the sheep? What about the fire? No, they go. They go. They want to be a part of the amazing news and the amazing event that God is having happen right then. They want to witness the good news of great joy. And the scripture tells us they find Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And after that, after they checked it out for themselves, what do? They spread the word to others. Because good news is for sharing. This is what good news of great joy for all people. And it would have been wrong for them just to keep it to themselves. And so joy leads to proclamation. And after our reaction, we praise. Joy leads to praise. And again, we find this truth demonstrated for us in a few examples of the Christmas narrative. The first example is, if you look back earlier in Luke, Mary, after she hears the words of prophecy from Elizabeth, we read about in Luke 1, Mary is filled with joy and wonder at her cousin Elizabeth and the words that she spoke, blessing and favor over her and the child that she carried in her womb. Her joy could not be contained. So what does Mary do? She also bursts out in song. Mary praises the Lord for choosing her to be the mother of Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. Mary rejoices in God, her Savior. She's filled with joy at God's goodness to her, and her joy is expressed in praise. What about the shepherds? The shepherds, they praise God for what they had seen, and they got to be a part of this epic event. Look at verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. One word can characterize the shepherds and their audience here. It's amazed. The shepherds came, they saw what God told them to expect, and so they go proclaiming their findings to all who would listen. And then they turned back to their jobs with a new song of praise in their heart. What God had said, God had done, and so they returned to their sheep, never to be forgotten. Even the angels are in full praise mode here. We can read in the book of Job how the angels praise God at creation. And now they praise him at the beginning of this new creation. And not only is one angel in on this announcement time of praise, no, a whole angelic army appears with the shepherd, to the shepherds, and join in this joyous proclamation of praise to God, praise for what God is doing. And God's glory came to earth in the form of his son. That humble manger was the Holy of Holies because Jesus laid there. And Mary, we see at the end of the passage here, treasures up all these things. She responds differently in her joy here. She's carried Jesus for 9 months in her womb, and now she contemplates these experiences that would be treasured memories about her son, each confirming Gabriel's promise of greatness for this son of David, this son of the Most High, for nothing is impossible with God. Now, the scriptures don't speak to Joseph's reaction here at this point in what's taking place. I can only imagine from my own experience of becoming a dad, I'm sure he's pretty pumped of what's going on. I'm sure he's pretty excited and full of joy. He had to be excited to see all what was happening, what God was unfolding around him. And maybe as us men would maybe say, there was a little dust in the air, maybe the odd tear needed to be wiped away. But he would be excited for what God was doing. And at the delivery of the gospel message, this entire heavenly host, this heavenly army appears with the shepherds praising God. And what do they proclaim? They proclaim glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. We too should give glory to God in heaven for coming to earth to save us, you and I. Glory to the Father for sending the Son. And the peace we referenced and looked at last week, and it refers to here this idea of fullness, this full blessing, which only Jesus Christ can bring. And so we are reminded here that Jesus brings joy because we are no longer at odds with God, because salvation that we can receive because of Jesus' coming. And by putting our faith in his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, we can be brought into a right relationship with God. And that provides us a peace that surpasses, again, understanding. It brings abounding joy to our lives. And this joy and peace is for anyone, Jew and Gentile, man and woman, young and old, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done in life, you can experience this joy. And we need to recognize that though we come to Christ and put our faith in him, life isn't all roses after that. We still in this life will have struggles and sadness at times on this earth, but it's temporary. We know for those who are believers, when we get to heaven, we will have ultimate joy forever. And we can live our life on earth knowing that our true joy and peace are in Christ. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 tells us to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now again, in this well-known Christmas passage, we read of this heavenly announcement of the birth of Christ. God chose shepherds, not kings, not princes, not the big city, to announce the birth of the Savior of our world. And the news of Christ's arrival is good news. It is good news of great joy, and it dispels all our fears, inviting us to join in the chorus of the angels, giving glory to our gracious God. The gospel, which literally means good news, the good news is Jesus himself. He is the Savior of the world. And so as we reflect on this Christmas narrative, as we reflect on the season of Advent this week, may we be reminded that Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Maybe you need to ask in your own life the question, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know the joy that can be experienced by having your sins forgiven? Do you know the joy of being restored into a right relationship with our God, our Creator? You can know that joy. You can put your faith in Christ. And the message that the angel gave to the shepherds is just as applicable to you and I here, right now, right here. A Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. There is no true joy without salvation. There is no true salvation without joy. And if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, then you are missing out on the true joy of Christmas. Now remember, joy leads to proclamation. And if you're here this morning and you do know Jesus as your Savior, then you need to spread the word. You don't need to be a trained theologian to share Christ with other people. All you need to do is tell people what Christmas is about. Tell them Christmas is about Jesus coming to be our Savior. Tell them that Jesus died on the cross for their sin so they can be forgiven. Tell them that Jesus rose from the dead, that he is alive today. Tell them Jesus is coming back to bring peace on earth. This is the good news of great joy. And remember, good news is for sharing. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, then you know the joy of salvation, and you know that joy needs to lead to proclamation. And joy also leads to praise. Praise God every day for your salvation. Praise Him for His amazing grace. Praise Him for His great love in sending His Son, Jesus, the Savior, into this world. Praise Him for His goodness and kindness in forgiving your sin. Praise Him for the miracle of the incarnation at Christmas, that God the Son took on human flesh and was born into our world as a little baby. Let me encourage you this morning with great joy and praise. Praise God, for He has given you salvation. And with that salvation, you receive peace, a peace found nowhere else. And so again, are you filled with joy this Christmas? Are you? Because you can be. And you should be. Because Christ has come. Because you can receive Christ as your Savior. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about joy. Joy comes from Christ. And Christmas is all about Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning again. We thank You for this time together, praising You in song and in word, God. We thank You for the time in Your scriptures now, where we look at this Christmas narrative, a passage that can be familiar for some of us, new for others. Yet, Lord, it holds such great truths and such good reminders of the joy that You bring at Christmas, the joy that we can know because of salvation. And so, Christ, we thank You and give You all praise and glory due to Your name for the gift of salvation that You offer us so freely. And Lord, may we not just hold that good news in our own hearts and minds, but may we go out into this world proclaiming that good news of Jesus, the good news of salvation. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.